Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks, guys, for tuning in. My name is Linda. This is Right from the Left Coast. It's Wednesday. It's raining and ugly and windy, so I hope this computer doesn't go down. The only way it will go down is if we get a blackout, which happens all the time. So we are brought to, thanks so much, Lonnie, for the sound check. We're brought to us by PatriotFamilies.com. That's www.PatriotFamilies.com. Welcome, Ron, Lonnie, Rod, and Yo. And everyone else that's listening out there. The news of the day. Where do I begin? I think I got up and looked at the emails and the Facebook, and my head was just spinning. I couldn't keep up with it. I was trying to read everything that Ron had sent me on the assassination of JFK, all the stuff on his blogs, which I did as much as I could on those. Unbelievable stuff. I've got, you know, different stuff from the Blaze, all these people who are being treated horribly by the Nazis ordered by Ovamit to make it painful with the tourists in Yellowstone and everywhere else. So we'll get to those in a minute. So what I've done is I was telling Lonnie when he was kind of like, Yo and he were the only, information overload is absolutely, I'm going to do a little scripture to calm us down. Calm me down anyway. So I was telling everybody in the chat room before you got, some of y'all joined, I got a little glass of water. I've got a glass of wine staying close to the top. Praise the Lord. And I have scented candles that are just so nice. And I was almost ready to play my meditation ohm tape, but I didn't want to take it too far. Anyway, let's do that because this one, I did the same thing. I do it all the time, but, a lot of times for reading scripture, I just let the book open and then put my finger on something. And I got to Daniel 11 and verse 33 through, I think it was 39. So this is kind of cool because it sounds so relevant and sounds like someone we know that we don't like very much, but we'll get into this. So this is verse 33. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall followed by the sword and by flame, by captivity and by spoil, many days. Now when they shall fall, they shall be hopen with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of woman, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all, but in his estate shall be honor. He honor the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory. And he shall cause them to rule over many and shall divide the land for gain. Very interesting. Very interesting. I know. I caught that. It was like, ooh. Or, Pol Pot, any of them. Let's go there. But I wanted to do something before I do share with you folks what I've been learning. And I love this course. His name is Gary Wolfram. He's pretty cool. He does these videos as the lecturer on Hillsdale for Econ 101. But I want to go through a little bit of stuff so we can just, before I get phone calls and all that stuff, in what I got to see today or had to see today. And one of the ones, I got an email from ISA, so I'm going to go briefly through this, talking about the shutdown and the partial shutdown due to lapses in funding. And it talks about, he says, as the government reaches the second week of shutdown, the House has remained dedicated to reopening our government and has passed several bills to do so, such as providing benefits to families of fallen heroes, reopening our national parks and monuments, making funds available to provide disaster relief to our country and its citizens, honoring our promise to give veterans the benefits they earned through their service to our country, granting back pay for federal workers affected by the shutdown. Those are just the highlights. I didn't get into the complete details. So what I'm going to do is go through a lot of this stuff, and bear with me. Okay, let me just go back. The guys are chatting. Next one was, just for kicks, this was a tiny bit of good news, but it should be lower. Shutdown fallout. Obama approval rating slides to 37%. And when this all went on Facebook, everybody said it should be zero. And I said, yeah, well, that matches his name. There's a couple. I didn't get to get into the guy that posted the one with David Barton on Common Core, but I will do that and save. I'm going to try to get to the other one that you sent me, Ron, and it's way back in my archives of what we talked about a little bit on the blogs today with the 1930 bankruptcy and all of the things, you know, what they've done to us as total turned us into serfs and slaves with the birth certificates and everything else. There was one was really cute where you sent about the people, I think they were in California, who realized that they were going to be paying for all this stuff, spreading the wealth around, the healthcare plan free for all Americans. There ain't no free lunch, my friends. So it always costs something. So this person, his name is Vincent, I guess the last name, got an unwanted awakening to the reality of government-sponsored wealth confiscation and redistribution. Anyway, it was Cindy and Tom, that was their names, big believers in the Affordable Care Act. They vote independent and proud to say they helped elect and reelect, so they did it twice, President Barry. And this is the Bay Area, which doesn't surprise me. Like many other Bay Area residents who pay for their own medical insurance, they were floored last week when they opened their bills. Their policies were being replaced with pricier plans that conform to all the requirements of the new health care law. Vincent of San Jose will pay $1,800 more a year for an individual policy, while the other person, this is Tom, Portola Valley, will cough up almost $10,000 more for insurance for his family of four. And then they, quoting these people, I was laughing at Boehner until the mail came today. It's just unbelievable what goes on. And the person who's writing this goes, the socialism is an awesome idea, isn't it? Until it's you who has to foot the bill. Ms. Vinson wanted hardworking Americans to feel the pain to give up their life's work for equal wealth distribution, and she voted to force these mandates on unwilling Americans at the barrel of a gun. Who's in front of the barrel now, Ms. Vinson? You and the rest of the 50 million people who elected Barry to not one but two terms deserve the pain that's coming. You asked for it, now bask in it. I got a kick out of it because it's absolutely true. Let's see if I can get back to the other ones. Yeah. Well, it's a shame, and like you say, we need to pray for these people. Hopefully they'll come to the fold. Hey, Bill, welcome to the show. I want to go back and get the next one that I was looking at. Okay, so I don't need those. Here's the one that Ron sent that was also good, and this is called China is Ticked. So I'll get through this one, and then I'll go to the monetary system, and what we should have, of course, is free markets. And in a sense, we do, because they still work in spite of these clowns. Oh, and who's this woman? Was she the vice chair that's going to take Helicopter Ben's place? Wow, we got to talk about that too. Okay, it says China has finally come out in a very strong terms and told the U.S. to get its financial house in order. This is now in public. come out of the closet, I guess. Their warning was straightforward as compared to previous warnings that were generally of the read-between-the-lines type. They hold $1.3 trillion worth of treasuries, which compared to what else we've got out there is not that much, but and well over $3 trillion in dollar-denominated assets. No matter what anyone says, China now has the ability to pull our strings in Washington. Well, and then what the picture on this is APEC, APEC, Indonesia, 2013. Of course, Putin's front and center. They're all wearing these Chinese garb, and even John Kerry, he's in the back row, probably because he's so tall and such a dunce, but kind of in the corner too. But anyway, so without going any further, I should add that I believe that they certainly will pull our strings and pull the plug on this whole Ponzi scheme on the very day that they are told there is no more gold left. This event could come to light at any moment, as London has already bled over 1,300 tons of gold this year alone, GLD well over 500 tons, and the COMEX now has more than 50% of standees in October for the dealer's remaining inventory. December is a whole another story, as there are contracts open for 30 times of dealer gold and 3 times of total inventories. December is not far off and has the potential on its own to blow the whole fractional reserve game out of the water. The spectacle in Washington has already had quite a negative ramifications from a perception point of view. President Obama canceled his trip to the APEC, Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Conference, and John Kerry did attend, though below is a picture taken at the end of the conference. Does this look like any photo of any meeting that the U.S. has ever attended? John Kerry in the back row or on the end? Is there any significance to this? Is the Pope Catholic? You might also notice that Vladimir Putin is standing front and center. Apparently, since Mr. Obama was a no-show, he took the reign at this conference. How bad from a public relations standpoint is this? Our president didn't show up because we ran out of money, because we need to vote on whether or not we can borrow more money, and now another G20 meeting is coming up. Oh, my God. Think this one through. Would you do business or partner with someone that you not only knew for a fact was having financial problems, but aired their dirty laundry of insolvency in a public manner? Wouldn't you be a little worried about them performing? Or might you think once or twice about them taking you down with them? Please keep in mind that while this conference was going on, Obama actually said that he will not negotiate on anything unless he gets everything he wants. What the heck is this? Once he gets everything he wants, what is left to negotiate over? What this type of action is supposed to go over well, or was this supposed to go over well with our creditors? Were they supposed to be impressed with this show of strength? Forget about how it went over with the U.S. population, because we don't even matter anymore. It's not like we have the ability to fund our own debt. No, it was foreigners that funded our debt until the last year or two. Now that job rests squarely on the shoulders of the biggest hedge fund in the world called the Federal Reserve. Period. End of story. Okay, mark my words, this game will end on one single day. When the Chinese are told, sorry, there is no more gold, they will dump anything and everything on the dollar. China is like a prize fighter who has been told to carry their opponent until a certain round for pay. They get paid more and more in gold for each round that they wait for the knockout. But after some unknown round, they are told that they won't be paid anything more, no matter how long the fight lasts. Boom, one punch and the fight, it's over. In this case, it will be one phrase, sell everything dollar and the game is over. China has accumulated the gold and we have accumulated debt, which will be paid off in newly and massively printed dollars. Which one do you think the world will give more value to? This has become so beyond obvious that it pains me that so many Americans can't see it, don't want to see it, and don't even have a clue that we are living in the end game. And that was one heck of a deal. I tell you, I really, really thank you for that, because it makes so much sense and it's so true. And it's right there in black and white. So also 646-378-0321. Anybody that wants to call in, I'm going to go do this little bit. This was something that was interesting, and I wanted to go through the week 2 of the Econ 101. So Anyway, basically, we have in a free market, if we're still in a free market, we have spontaneous order. We have individuals acting according to an orderly plan of their own, which equals liberty. Ron's put InfoWars, whistleblower, target of government face. Quasi-free market. Well, you know, sometimes it works. Right now, I still have food in the grocery market until the truckers decide to go to D.C., and then they won't be filling up the – thank God I have some. Wow. Extra food storage. Okay. Also, in a free market capitalism system, if you have a full one, you have voluntary exchange, in other words, with each other, and all parties wind up happy. That's pretty pretty true. Also, it talks about supply and demand. Too many bagels, the price falls. Shortage of bagels, price goes up. That's simplification of it, but that's kind of how it works. You know, unless you still have more of a benefit to your side than you know, that doesn't matter what the price is. If it benefits you very, very much, you will buy something even if the price stays the same. The price system is what evens this out and actually pretty much drives the supply and demand. Basically, the central planners hate free exchange because they decide what's going on, and then we lose liberty. It's the top-down authoritarian stuff we hate. There's another portion to this. It's called coordination. We have, you know, all these things come to play in a market. Like if you're making pencils or if you're making wool coats, there are so many people involved, of course, without central planning, which was what we hope. And that's why pencils are relatively cheap. You can buy them anywhere, even outside of Walmart. But, I mean, just think about what it takes to do one pencil and how, without even talking to each other, they just do it. This is what freedom is all about. Also, you have what's known as cooperation. We do need each other for goods and services, for food, clothing, and shelter. And I know we've talked about this before, that, you know, if you spend all your time trying to grow your own food and weave your own wool and stitch your own clothing together and build your own house, my God, there's not enough hours in the day and you would be pretty hungry and sometimes a little cold. So we do trade these things with each other. And then there's the efficiency of markets. The producer makes X, then they sell it for more than it costs to make the product. Consumers drive the products to be produced by desire and demand and personal choices. Also, sometimes what's your income? If your income rises, you are able to afford things that you couldn't before. So the consumer is king. So even culture is driven by the consumer. If people like a certain type of music or a football game, they will pay for it. Actually, in this type of market, you must serve others in a free market, voluntary exchange, and learn how to please people. Otherwise, they're not going to partake in your marketplace or buy your products or deal with your services. And that's pretty much it's being self-interest, but not being selfish. And then you are free to be philanthropic if you want to. To find your right niche, it will depend on what goods and services are most in demand. Of course, you want to please the public, and if they're not going to buy product X, Y, or Z, then you're not going to do very well in your producing and making a profit. Inequality of income. Some got wealthy by producing something millions of folks want. That's true. Okay, describing poor people, when you look at it, our lives are not that different than someone like Warren Buffett, because we can still travel, although we do commercial and he has a private jet. We still have cars. He may have a Bentley and we may have a Volkswagen, but we still have cars. So it's totally different than what it would be in Rwanda or Somalia and comparing poor people. Like in Somalia, the poor there are starving because of their evil governments. And we do take care of the poor with charity, or we used to. We are moving toward that evil system of way too many takers and not enough tax serfs. It is, if it's done correctly, a moral system based on merit, what you produce, and thinking about what others want and need. So then, let me go into the study stuff. There was week two. It says, from Gary Wolfram, he's pretty cool, talking about in the raising of the debt limit, the best thing we could do is prioritize spending, which is common sense. And right now we are between a rock and a hard place. Eventually, not raising the debt limit would cause problems with the programs people have become reliant upon or addicted to. We need to make structural changes in Social Security and Medicare because they're going to go bye-bye. Make changes to these programs and start a serious discussion on the matters. Bring to the forefront all of these programs for discussion. The government runs deficits, and deficits can equal debt because they borrowed the money. The Fed Reserve comes in and buys the debt and causes inflation, which is a tax. No balanced budget equals, it says true price of government services are obscured. We think they are cheaper than they really are, so we vote for more services, and the government gets bigger, and it's a vicious circle. On government shutdowns, 1995 to 96, a 28-day shutdown, arguing for a balanced budget, the debate became over, like now, who will be blamed? Obama is dominating the news because congressmen are in D.C. and are not back in their own districts talking to the local reporters. I do believe that's true. Some of them are getting out there, though. Basically, we need to win the debate in the media, through the media, and we're going to have to use alternative media and until we deal with the structural problems of these big entitlement programs, the continuing resolutions and debt limit problems will keep recurring. Government regulations equal waste, and that was lesson two. And this particular Q&A was talking about, from Gary, the roots of capitalism. And he talks about capitalism allows for the creation of the greatest wealth for the masses and offers the greatest benefits and opportunities to the poor. Capitalism is not a collusion between big business and big government to advance the interests of stockholders and management at the expense of workers. It is rather a system of voluntary exchange based on private property rights, limited government, and individual freedom. Boy, I've been championing that for 2 years. Voluntary exchange ensures that only businesses that provide what consumers want at the right price will survive, fostering continuous innovation. One becomes wealthy in a market system by pleasing others, and the more individuals you please, the wealthier you become. Each day we go about our business in complete confidence that the rest of society will provide for our basic needs. Typically, we do not stop to wonder how food gets to our table, clothes into our closet, or how our shelter is provided. We do not take the time to consider that millions of people will awake in our largest cities tomorrow, and there will be just the right amount of coffee, dental floss, toilet paper, and an astonishing array of other goods and services sold during the day. Yet, if we do stop to think about it, it is a miracle. The market system delivers untold wealth to millions of persons. Societies that do not have market economies have been forced to concede that only free markets are capable of producing on a scale that affords even the poorest person a standard of living well above that would have been unthinkable just a few hundred years ago. Socioeconomic order is determined by the rules under which we play the game. This is the political process, but as French political economist Frederick Bastiat noted, it is not possible to develop a science of politics without understanding how the economic system works. Nobel laureate Friedrich Hayek, love those guys, refined this idea by offering that if people do not understand and believe in market capitalism, they will ask their government to undertake actions that in the end will make us less wealthy and less free. This has proven true with the faltering Western social democracies and lies at the root of anti-capitalist movements. What goes wrong in today's society too often occurs because people have not thought very much about how the world works. They are too busy, think themselves uninformed, or simply aren't interested. However, it does not require more than an ability to read and think critically to make sense of many confusing and contradictory statements. To recognize that what our government does to solve problems often makes things worse, and that federal, state, and local officials are often advised that their policies will fail. Hear, hear. I talk to city council all the time. They don't listen. The difference between a good economist and a bad economist, Bastiat observed, is that the bad economist sees the seen, but the good economist sees the unforeseen. In other words, the good economist can imagine the unintended consequences of policy action. The goal of this book that he has talked about, it was called The Roots of Capitalism, is to make you a good economist. So let's go to, on that test I scored 10 out of 10. This time I didn't do so well, but that was on the demand, so I'm going to pick Bill up. I think it's Bill or Lonnie. Let me check. Hello, how are you? Can you hear me? Okay, I can't get them. I don't know what happened. If you guys can hear me, that's great. Tell me what's going on. I've just unmuted the 812 area code, but I'm not getting anybody. So if you can hang up and call back. Okay, great. Let's see. Free in the thinking of Hobbes. I don't know what we're doing. Okay, we did drop. Maybe they can try back again. And I'm not getting any wind, so it's not me. So thank you, Lonnie. So again, 646-378-0321. There's just so much going on. I don't even know where to begin with. Do we know anything about that woman? And she's gray-haired. I just saw a little bit on Facebook today who's going to be considered for the next to take Bernanke's place. Okay, we're going to try to pick him up again. Hold on. Okay, you're on. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, I can hear you now.
Okay.
Welcome.
I was just calling in to listen because Blog Talk's giving me fits.
Oh, no. Are you still there? Can you hear me? Okay,
yes.
'Cause you're breaking up a little. All right. Welcome, Sandy. Just making sure we got everybody. Go ahead and talk about what you want to talk about.
Well, I was actually just calling in to talk, to listen. I couldn't get in through Blog Talk. It keeps giving me a runaround.
Okay, hon. Great. I wanted to pick up Ron, too. Thanks for listening. Hi, Ron.
Go ahead.
Who are you? I missed the part about something about a lady, gray-headed, and then I
okay, she,
unplugged
she's,
to call in.
This is Obama's pick for to take Ben Bernanke's place.
Oh, Janet Yellen. Yeah, that's Ben Bernanke's secretary.
Oh, Lord.
Not really. She's the vice chair.
Second chair. Yeah, okay.
But you remember, right. if we go back a couple of weeks, or a month, when I talked about the memo that came out implicating Larry Sinclair in his dealings with his buddy Timmy Geithner,
mm-hmm,
in contacting the heads of five major banks in the U.S. to push the Congress to pass legislation that allowed the housing bubble and the crash afterwards. Yes, Larry Summers. I must have misspoken and not said Larry Summers, but yeah, that's exactly who I'm talking about.
Yeah. Oh, because he was not chosen this time. I think on purpose.
Correct.
But
well,
anyway,
he withdrew. He withdrew.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Sinclair is the guy that Obama had.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, it's, you know, all these Larrys. It's hard to keep them separate, I guess.
God. Exactly.
Summers withdrew a couple of, three weeks ago, right after the story broke about that memo. And that's what I talked about on my show. It's probably been a month ago that I had that on the show. And I think that is the reason why, because it was not, you know, it wasn't some inter-office email or something. This was a handwritten memo from Summers to Geithner. and it had the phone numbers, the personal phone numbers of those five bankers. John Corzine was one of them.
Yeah. So what do you think of the thing, the APEC deal in Indonesia and my rendition of Econ 101 for free
market?
Well,
I mean, you know, the basics of an economy are yeah,
sure.
I mean, that's spot on. But well, as far as that APEC deal, look, I've been talking about this for a while.
Sure.
They know, and they're not stupid, okay? And I heard someone today, I occasionally switch over and listen to the left-wing channel on Sirius Patriot just to hear the other side's ideologies, you know, or the presumable other side, because I'm really not left or right. I think they're both nuts, you know, Boehner and Pelosi.
Sure.
And that, to me, is the extreme of both sides, but... the guy was actually making a comparison to Japan. And I thought, okay, you mm-hmm. clearly don't understand economics terribly well if you're going to go move forward on the idea that because Japan is able to operate at 250% of debt to GDP,
wow.
that it's perfectly plausible that the United States of America can do the same. I think there's a distinct difference between Japan and the U.S., one of them being that the U.S. is the second largest economy on the globe and also happens to possess the reserve currency status
right now.
So those two things make it infinitely impossible and ridiculous to try and compare us to Japan is just asinine. I've got another call,
sure.
so I'm going to take it, and I'll come back
okay.
to you.
And I also have Bill. Are you able to hear us, Bill, and I can hear you?
I can hear you.
Awesome. Okay, I gotcha. So anyway, just a little, you know, what I was upset about today on the Facebook was all of these stories, and also Glenn's show, about these so-called shutdowns. And they're just, they're being bullies, and they're at the shove stage, and they're acting like Gestapo, and I hate it. And there's been many, many people talking about this on Facebook and comparing the Schmendrick to Hitler. And I did that back in 2009 because I knew. I mean, he was just, my Lord. You know, he was doing the same things, absolutely every single thing. And there are many people who lived through these times, are able to live to tell the tales, and they know and they do study history and they talk about, you know, the first thing they do besides take over the media is they start nationalizing everything, and then the next thing they do is they do the health care, and then they go from there, and they start taking away everything that they can. So what do you think about those things?
Well, I think you're dead online. That is what they've done and is what they're doing. It's all about
yeah.
control. The health care bill
it
wasn't
is.
About health. It was about control. You can't find anything in the Obama agenda that's not already in the Agenda 21 ideology written down of how
right.
to control and take control over the globe, our country and the globe. And
right.
that's what they've been doing the entire time.
Well, the other thing, the other story, this was Yellowstone, and these people had saved up for a long time and paid for this tour that this gentleman, I think it's called Old Faithful Inn is where it is, and it's, you know, these little Gestapo are out there stopping them from taking pictures of the bison. They kept to their script because they're so stupid. They had to, you know, they're like Pavlov's dogs, and you say one thing, and then they just repeat it like it's on a teleprompter in their brain, and it was just absolutely disgusting. They said, "You're not allowed to recreate here." I mean, they would just, and they literally forced them back into the hotel and wouldn't let them leave. It was like their little tiny concentration camp. It's ridiculous. Unbelievable.
I'm back. Oh,
go
you
ahead.
Know, the thing is with this, and of course, you
oh,
know.
It's time to,
and
it's
this
time
is
to
the
start
thing.
Wearing stuff on our hips.
Well, you can't, you shouldn't, or we should not, right. and it's having the desired effect. It's so utterly ridiculous and petty, very childish, actually.
Oh, I know.
You know, to go through these machinations, And it's blatant. It's absolutely blatant. And especially when you see, you know, oh, well, we won't allow people to visit the Veterans Memorial, but we will
They've
allow
got La Raza out there, yeah.
an illegal and immigration FBI. Rally on the mall. That's mm-hmm. just an improper use of the people's property. And, you know, I was just overjoyed to see that one of our fine congressmen from Atlanta, Mr. John Lewis, was amongst those miscreants that were apprehended.
And Rangel, too. You know, oh, God.
And quite honestly, you know, I look back and I'm very saddened because John Lewis was someone who stood with Martin Luther King and was in Selma, Alabama, and fought for civil rights. And to me, what he's done since that time mm-hmm. with antics like this just diminishes
oh, yeah, it does.
The struggle that they went through for civil rights. It just diminishes his character. And
sure.
It's sad to see that the very people that were instrumental in fighting the machine have now fully embraced it and become part of it.
Part of it, yeah. Well, happened to, and we know both sides are in on this stuff. I mean, there's no question. If anyone has any question about that, they're not paying attention. Go ahead, Bill.
If Lewis had still been in the mode he was in 30 years ago, John Lewis would have realized just what amnesty is going to mean to the black population, and it's not a good thing.
That's
well,
true.
Well, and they would be out and would have been out, you know, decades ago speaking out about welfare and entitlements and how it is a snare and it does not elevate the poor. It's really sad, and I you know, how do you get around that at this point? You're in a situation where there are so many that are dependent. It would absolutely be inhumane to mm-hmm. just kick them to the curb, but at the same time, if we continue on the path that
it's going to happen anyway,
chosen, they're not going to have a choice, and that's really what this forced shutdown crap is all about.
So, you know, in the article about the APEC situation, and the person who was writing the article said, you know, with the shutdown nonsense and you know, he's advertising that we're broke and there's going to be no negotiations unless I get everything I want. And then, of course, the question becomes, well, why would you have to negotiate? You just got, you know, your kingdom handed to you on a silver platter, so to speak.
Well, here's the thing.
It's nuts.
The debt limit is a separate issue from what's going on currently right now over the continuing resolution. The continuing resolution is simply about whether or not to fund Obamacare. And if we take it as a whole, my God, it's going to add another $780 billion over the next 10 years, and that's only, ladies and gentlemen, that only accounts for the presumed government end of the deal. That does not include the burden that it's going to place on the American people directly through their paycheck or their tax returns. So I think when you take all of it into consideration, you're going to see that it's a huge tax increase, which is why the lady and the young man that you were speaking of earlier, and I believe they're actually from Oregon and Seattle, if I remember right, but I could be wrong. You know, the one guy, his premiums are increasing $10,000 a year. He's furious, and he's a Democrat, and he voted twice for Obama.
Yep.
And he said, you know, I think that health care for everyone is a great idea. I just didn't realize that I was personally going to be paying for it. Right. You know, welcome to the concept of paying your fair share. I welcome you aboard.
That's unbelievable. Go ahead.
I've had so many Democrats, even today I had a call asking me more about the Tea Party because a Democrat is leaving the Democratic Party over the health care bill. This is about the 15th person that has approached me and told me they were leaving the Democratic Party.
Good.
Well, and you know, maybe, Bill, maybe this is what Nancy meant when she said we've got to pass it to know what's in it, and perhaps what's in it is a bridge too far in the destruction or at least the reining in of the Democratic Party. I honestly believe that if they if we continue on the path that we're currently on, and I hope to God they do, I think you're going to see a crumbling of both parties.
Oh, yeah. Huge.
The GOP and the Democrats.
We've got McConnell's and Boehner's and McCain's. It's time to get rid of them. They're not
Well, that's exactly right.
Right.
And the same can be said of the Pelosi's and the Waters and the, you know, Sheila Jackson Lee's and the other nutbags out
Keith
there.
Keith Ellison's. Uh-huh.
You know,
oh
they're
God.
Just dyed in the wool, and it's all about party, and it's not about the people.
No.
The American people.
They have
that's
formed.
That's secondary.
What they're
that's
doing, Ron.
That's absolutely
Ron,
secondary.
And, you know, when you I'm just going by definitions of historians and dictionaries, you know, et cetera. But when you actually break it down and you look at the actual meanings of what a monarchy means or a dictatorship or an oligarchy, which would be those the wealthy elites of generations of, you know, uber-rich people controlling everybody, they think that that's what they are. They think they're the select superiors. You know what I mean?
Well, that goes right back to what I was talking about with Hobbes and Rousseau, with the idea that this created entity called a citizen that is a mental creation of the mind of a human being, that the citizen becomes the sovereign, but only as a collective. It's an autonomous collective, okay? And that autonomous collective is we the people, also known as the state or the government. And therefore, it has power over the citizens, which is their subject or serfs.
Yeah, I know.
And that's absolutely how they proceed. It goes all the way back to Socrates, okay, and, you know, Plato's Republic, where the philosopher kings are ruling over you because we are the unclean masses that are just too ignorant to know it's for our own good. It's for our own benefit. I mean, my God, they want us all to have health insurance. You know, they want healthy workers on the plantation.
Well, you know, I also have the 8112 with the 498 prefix. You're on the air as well. Is this?
Hi, this is Lonnie.
Oh, hey, Lonnie. Great to have you. What have you got on your mind?
I'm just laughing. That's true. That they want healthy people on the plantation. I agree
100%. Well, right. Look, here's where I when I look
Well, except for the ones that are uppity, they want those to just, you know, like kick off of cancer or diabetes.
They want to be the plantation boss. The ones that got money, they want them to be the plantation boss.
So
that's what it's all about.
Right. When you look at this entitlement mentality, this fake or faux second Bill of Rights mentality, we're going back to FDR. He tried to ram that through, and everybody, anyone who's read anything on this guy knows it, and that was rejected, thank God. But it's been piecemealed, hasn't it? Look how it's creeped in over the years, over the rest of these clowns, because I don't even know where to begin as far as, can I count on one hand the presidents of all 44 of them elected?
You know, and
I
think the Bill of Rights is inappropriately named. I wish they never would have called it that. Because, you know, it feeds right into this idea that those are rights that are guaranteed by the government to the people, and that just simply couldn't be further from the truth.
Right. So
the reality is we reserve these rights, and you don't have any authority whatsoever legislate in this area, period, end of conversation. But, you know, they don't see it that way.
Well, no, because we're not screaming loud enough. I mean, I'm just looking forward to this weekend on Facebook and everywhere else on the internet where I can, because I know the MSM's not going to cover the truckers. So,
well,
I mean, you can bet your
sweet. How loud do we have to yell?
Say what?
How loud do we have to yell?
Well, I don't know. How loud is it? Do you have to have earplugs when you fire your rifle? I don't know. I mean, I know we're not supposed to go that way yet, but
because we've been screaming and screaming and screaming, and
they don't care. They don't. My own city council don't care. They don't give a rat's behind. I'm tired of going in front of them.
Just like I was talking to a lady up there at work today. She thought for sure on this Obamacare that people that had insurance already, they were exempt from it. And I told her, no, you're not exempt from it.
She's going to get a rude awakening.
Oh, the rude awakening. I know. It's just insane.
And she's like, well, we pay $5,000 a year for insurance, good insurance. I said, well, Obama don't care about that. The Democrats and Republicans, they don't care about that.
They care about their own pockets, their own wealth. They care about their own investments that they can get with insider trading and insider investing. They care that the laws apply to us, but they're not supposed to apply to them. And you have that on the local levels, too.
Oh, my gosh. I just went through it this week with my city council, and I said, I was surprised at Jack Feller's comments in one of the Coast News articles. And because he was going along with the rest of these clowns and all these developing things going right along the lines of Agenda 21. And I said, I was surprised because you came to me and wanted information on it. And now you're not seeing that what you're proposing here is the identical to what I'm trying to explain to you. Anyway, I got I got an email back, or a couple of them, from his aide, and I said, well, thank Jack for, you know, at least responding to me, because I said, sometimes we're out here in the black hole, and, you know, we don't even know whether the council members care or not, and I said, well, maybe Jack Feller does, and then she writes back to me, which was kind of weird. She says, well, we just want to make sure that everyone knows that we have seen and we're responding. That doesn't mean we agree with you. God. I says, I give up. I just give up. I can't take these people anymore. God.
My hope with the trucker thing is that it's a huge success.
Oh, me
and
too.
And I hope they successfully encircle Maryland and D.C. down there and just jam the whole thing up.
Oh, God. I hope it's... Wait. Go ahead.
If it makes success, if the media will report it.
They're not going to. I doubt they
do. Well, you know, that's the beauty of this day and age, our technology.
I know.
I can guarantee you that there will be alternative media out there to cover it, guaranteed.
Sure. I know that.
So, you know,
Breitbart,
we had two of the biggest protests in history. Media didn't cover crap. The bikers went there. The media covered it up. I don't expect nothing different out of this. The media are propagandists. And when everything gets settled, I want to take and drag those people in the media who pushed all this propaganda to the streets and let the people deal with them as they will.
Oh, yeah, I think that Sandy's right on that about the overpasses. I hope
they
do. I hope they all go out for all that.
It has, if you can stomach watching some of the talking head news shows, I mean, it's pretty obvious when you look at the excerpts of the just pandering for Obama and trying to push the talking point that the GOP is holding the country hostage. You know, I'm sorry, but from where I sit, I'm not going to even say that it's Obama. I'm going to say that it starts in the Senate. It starts in the Senate. And
amen.
The Senate rejects every bill that is sent
every
to them.
Single one.
How can you possibly genuinely say that Obama or the House of Representatives is at fault? You're dealing with a Senate who the Senate leader, majority leader, Harry Reid,
he's a mental patient. Yeah.
Is rejecting these bills out of hand. The government could be fully funded with the exception of one law, one new, creation, Obamacare. And these people that keep touting that it's the law of the land.
I know.
Evidently haven't read the Constitution because
yep.
Congress, all bills appropriating funds originate in the House of Representatives. They are under no obligation to appropriate
money for
it.
That's right.
If they had their thinking caps on or if they thought it was so perfect, they should have secured funding through the House of Representatives at the time the bill was passed.
Sure.
They knew they couldn't do that.
Yep.
So they put off the funding and the appropriations for it until a later date, and now they're trying to play this game. It's ridiculous.
I know. It's theater. This is what we're seeing.
It is absolutely theater. It's nothing more. It's for entertainment only. And I honest to God hope and pray that they continue and neither side backs down. Nobody blinks.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
What the hell? No, I'm not determining the law. The Constitution determined the law.
Yeah,
amen.
You need to read the Constitution. So
there is no appropriations of money for Obamacare. There's nothing in the bill that can compel Congress to appropriate money. Just because the previous Congress passed something into law, there's no money that's been appropriated for it.
Right, right. And we can repeal laws. In order to amend the Constitution, it takes a hell of a lot of doing, and that's a different story.
Nobody's talking about. I think Mr. Beasley's getting confused here. No one's talking about the Supreme Court ruling and whether or not that Obamacare or the ACA is constitutional as a tax. That's not in question. Nobody's even brought that up except for Beasley. The fact of the matter is there has been zero money appropriated to fund it. If Congress decided not to appropriate money into Social Security, it would be in the same boat.
Yes.
It's at the discretion of Congress to appropriate this money. No one else. That's constitutional. And that's not a debt or obligation of the United States. Debts are those that have been appropriated. Go read up on it. And I love the 14th Amendment argument because it's very specific, at least in a portion of it, for the debts and obligations of those who were aiding in the rebellion. Okay? But as far as the legitimate debts, what they're talking about there is that $16.7 trillion that they want to increase the debt limit. That is what the government cannot default on, must pay. Not the $770 billion going 10 years forward for Obamacare. Not the $200 trillion going forward for Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. It's just absolutely that money doesn't exist until it's appropriated by Congress. Go read Helfring v. Davis if you want to read what the Supreme Court had to say about Social Security. There is no money and there is no lockbox.
Right.
There is
right.
no trust fund. There's a general fund set up, but there's no money in it until Congress appropriates the money. It's that simple.
Well, look, you're dealing with the word deficit and debt, and you've got Obama doing one thing, and the people like, when you deal with people like Harry Reid and Mitch McConnell and Nancy Pelosi and all the rest of these and the Chuckie Schumers and the ad nauseum list, I don't care whether it's Graham Cracker or McShane, it doesn't matter because, you know, these people are all on the wrong side. And this is why they're going so hard against Cruz and the rest of these guys like Mike Lee and Rand Paul because they are the new people who are the Tea Party and libertarian people who believe in freedom like Dr. Paul does. And they hate them. And the Karl Roves hate them because they're going to mess with the old guard. Well, I'm ready to tell you, I'm locking and loading against the old guard. Not one more dime to the GOP. It will be to individuals. And I just saw a speech with Matt Bevin, too. He was hot. Go ahead.
Well, I put that out the other day on my blog that don't give a dime to the GOP party or establishment. give it to the individual candidate.
Absolutely. Yep. There was a huge story about that on The Blaze with what happened to Matt Kibbe, and then it got reversed. And I mean, it's just unbelievable, all this wrangling, because they know that we threaten their power.
Yep. Well, and I always get a laugh. The SCOTUS is not, the Supreme Court of the United States is not the final arbiter on anything.
We are.
They issue opinions.
Yeah.
Ask Andrew Jackson.
We the people are. According to, Federalist Papers, I guess.
There's nothing in the Constitution that could be construed as giving them the authority to determine the constitutionality of anything.
And Bush wasn't the worst one. Lincoln was. Go look that up.
Absolutely. Lincoln was definitely, without a doubt, the worst president this country's ever seen. And again, it's difficult to say that without people jumping on the bandwagon and calling you a racist because of ignorance. They just don't understand that has nothing to do with, freeing the slaves, which he didn't really do anyway.
Yeah, I've got about 3 minutes. I want to get Lonnie in here, say the final goodbyes, and I'll go down the list.
I can tell you why, because we don't have to. There's no funding for it.
Go ahead, Lonnie, and then we'll get to Bill and then Ron.
Well, everybody, goodbye. Have a good night. Everybody,
thanks, Lonnie.
Be peaceful. Bye.
I know. Okay, go ahead, Bill.
I just want to reiterate, we're all in this together, no matter what political stripe you are. And unless the American people rise up together against the establishment of both parties, we're going down. And Mr. Beasley, by the time Obama leaves office, our national debt will have more than doubled, heading closer to a triple from what it was when he took over office. Smoke that.
Well, and to be fair, I mean, we had, 80-plus years of this utopian progressive, we can give bread and circus for everyone and, free room and board for everyone and tax the rich to death, right? That was the battle cry clear back in the 1900s, and how's that working out for us? sooner or later, logic and reason have to be able to.
Oh, we're going to prevail, and with God's help. And I'll tell you, that's what we do. Sour grapes, this guy's
got to
go.
No sour grapes here. Just reality.
Okay, just got rid of it. I can't take this guy. Anyway, everyone, we got to turn back to God.
Mr. Beasley's URL matches peg leg Petey.
Oh, okay. That's what was going on. He plays both sides of it.
I told you that. I knew that. And he claimed when he called my show the first time that he's a black man and he lives in California and he owns his own business. And then he calls in. That's why, by the way, I asked, where are you from anyway? And he said, Florida. And I was thinking to myself, you got a thing for the coastal states, evidently.
Wow. Okay, loves, you guys be blessed, and we're going to come back for Terry's show tomorrow. She's amazing. I love listening to her. I learned so much from my fave teacher. Just take out with a little bit of spiritual music. I need it.
You need to start doing more than 1 hour, young lady.
Okay, yes, sir. All right, you guys, love you all. Thank you, everyone, for joining. And we're going to do this one here. I can get it to work.
Ticket.
Okay, here we go.
You see.
Thanks, guys. Be blessed, and I'll see you tomorrow. Terry Show.
You're the whisper calling my name gently.